us how to pray. And this is going to be our prayer as well. So if you can pay your attention to the screen, it is Matthew chapter 6. This then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread and forgive us our debts, and as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. Well, what does this mean for us? You probably, this is just a review from the last 3 weeks, right? If you've been here for all three parts of this series, you should know this by now. What does it mean for us? You heard this in movies, you hear this, people pray about this all the time, people even recite it, memorize it, but what does it really mean? This is where our hearts is when we say the Lord's Prayer. God is our Father and He is above all creation and He's holy. Right? So Jesus says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And His desire for us is to live holy lives. That's God's desire for us, or as His children. And then He wants us to know that He is our provider, He forgives, and He is our protector. So when you read the Lord's Prayer, when you think of the Lord's Prayer, that's what it means for us. It's not about asking God for stuff, but it's remembering who God is in our lives, regardless of what we're going through. And the secret, right? How do we get to this point? That's what everyone wants to know. I talk to a lot of you and people who don't go to our church. It's like, oh, I'm struggling with my faith. How do we get to a point where you are in complete contentment with God? To that, to the prayer, it's in the Beatitude. The secret. It's in the Beatitude. It's this inward quality of contentment, divine quality, a perfect happiness, regardless of our life circumstances, in God. It's the pursuing to get to this point. And the secret, it's in the Beatitudes. And it's Matthew chapter 5. Let's stand as we read God's Word today. If you have your Bible, you can turn there to Matthew chapter 5. And if you don't have your Bible, it's on the screen as well. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely saying all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is the reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The word of the Lord, amen. Please be seated. I need you to know this. This is Bible. This is the good stuff. If you take the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes and put it right next to each other, you see the parallels. The first four commands is about God. Pursuing God. Remembering God. The first four Beatitudes, it's about us pursuing God, remembering God. And the rest of the Ten Commandments, six of them, and five Beatitude, it's about how do we respond to the world and to the people around us. So in a sense, the Ten Commandments is telling us don't do something, and the Beatitude is do this instead. So the Beatitude is a fulfillment of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments says, this is how you should not do things. And that's how you should not treat God or people. And the Beatitude is teaching us how to respond to God's love in Jesus Christ and how to respond to the world around us. Oh, you know, you have those people who annoys you all the time. How many of you guys have those people? Some of you might say, it's me. Because I check in on you all the time. Or some of you might have some people who just don't like you. And you know they don't like you. How many of you guys have those people? Yeah. The worst part is you know someone who don't like you, and you walk down the hallway or wherever your workplace are, and they're coming right straight at you. What happened? You pretend like they don't exist. We'll get to that part in a little bit. So Jesus says, instead of not doing this, this is what you ought to do. So the rest of the Beatitude is teaching us how to live within the world around us. So he says this, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So essentially, Jesus is saying, in addition to the Ten Commandments, don't just control yourself not to steal, not to kill, not to disobey your parents, but take it a step further, even though sometimes you feel like, why I oughta, how many guys feel that way sometimes? You just don't get it. But go one step further and show mercy. Have a pure heart. Be a peacemaker. One step further than just controlling yourself. One step further than just self-control, not doing something, but let's do this instead. Being merciful is forgiving our debtors, which is in Jesus' prayer. Did you know that the rest of the Sermon on the Mount is explaining the Beatitude in details? Be merciful is forgiving our debtors of their wrongdoings, and then we want to see them come to salvation in God. We want to be empathetic towards their sins or their struggle, because at the end result of us associating with people who are not nice to us is for them to know Jesus, for them to see Jesus in us. Instead of spreading lies about someone or get even, or just keep our mouths shut. We have a pure heart. Instead of just not associate with them, this is the hard part for all of us. Let's speak well of them. You know what we do when we don't like somebody or when someone hurts us? We, instead of confronting with that person, what do? We go and tell someone else of one of their friends, and to convince that friend how horrible that person is. So Jesus, instead of telling lies, instead of spreading lies like the Ten Commandments, he says, how about speak well, have a pure heart, compliment them, say something nice about them to their friends. Instead of seeking after your neighbor's stuff or stealing their stuff, give it back. Instead of taking advantage of them, be fair, make peace, ask for forgiveness. You see, our problem is we expect heaven on earth to be something that is happening around us, right? Everyone have this idea that I want a peaceful world. I want heaven on earth, but I want that to be for other people. Like, I want them to stop driving recklessly on the road, right? I want them to stop have road rage. I want them to wave. I want them to smile towards me. I want everyone to behave better around me, but not necessarily us. And that's not what Jesus talks about at all. Matter of fact, Jesus says, in this life you will have trouble. So what is heaven on earth? Heaven on earth is not what's happening around us, but what is happening inside of us. See, we want heaven on earth to be around us. But really, in order to have heaven on earth around us, it has to begin inside of us. Because we're the influencer. We'll get to there in a second. And Jesus explained it in detail this way in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. You have your Bible. Let's turn there real quick. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard it said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Jesus is comparing murder to just being angry towards somebody. Again, anyone who says to brother or sister, Raka, it's answerable to the court. And anyone who say, you fool, will be in danger of fire, of hell. The word rakah, it's the same thing as is the word "you fool." They just wrote in Aramaic, which I don't know why the translator kept it that way, or I don't know why Jesus said it twice, but he says, "You fool will be in danger of fire hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, there remember that your brother or sister has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and reconcile to them, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge hand you back over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." Being in a state of anger toward someone, we are guilty of judgment. Just as bad as being murdered. Now, I know you're thinking, well, you know, a little extreme there. Jesus, how many of you guys think that? Because all of us in this room right now, you're going to hell. Because you are guilty of being angry at someone. You probably got angry at somebody on your way here to church. I'll tell you what, being a pastor, that's hard. Because my wife proofreads my sermons. So if whatever we're going through, and if I get mad at her or she gets mad at me, Saturday night comes around, can you proofread my sermon before I present it to the congregation tomorrow? So whatever we do, me personally, I have to settle that before Saturday night. Certainly can't come up here and teach you guys about the scripture if I'm angry. When we're angry at somebody, Jesus is comparing it to murder, because when we are angry, we are deferring the effort. Listen to what he's saying. You're deferring the effort to someone else to solve that person's problem. When we're angry at somebody and we take a step back, Jesus says, settle your matters. Don't wait for it to go to court. Don't wait for it to go to the officer. Don't wait to go to your friend and let them be the judge of your relationships. You are in Jesus Christ. You know how to solve your own problems. Apologize to each other. Move on. Don't let the heathens show you how to have a relationship. And when you're angry at somebody, our own anger, this is what Jesus is saying. Our own anger is judging us, and essentially our own anger, it's imprisoning us and imprisoning them from moving forward. Think about this for a second. If I'm angry at you, and I left it alone, and I go spread gossip about Joe Sharp, oh, he's did this and he's that, what are you doing? You're putting now more a parameter on Joe Sharp's personality and who he is as a person than freeing him from his sin. But what are you doing to yourself as well? You're now becoming a sinner because I am murdering Joe in my heart and to his friends. So Jesus says, don't let the people around you settle the score for your problems. Solve it yourself because you know how to do that. You are children of God. God, be merciful. Be peaceful. Be a peacemaker. Settle it before you get to where you're going, especially when you go to worship God. We are creating heaven on earth for that person or around us because it begins with us. I'll illustrate it this way. In the early stages of Liz and I's dating life, we dated for 5 years before we got married. I wish it was rainbows and sunshines, right? I wish the first time I saw Liz was butterflies everywhere, and we say hello, and we kiss, and we're just walking through the fields and just in love all the time. Like, oh, the 5 years we're in love, right? No, it wasn't at all. Matter of fact, we fought all the time. I'm surprised that we're even stay dating, right? I can't remember how long into a relationship was this, but we were driving off of campus together. We were 2 hours away from campus, and I can't remember what we were fighting about, but I told her to stop. I was so angry. I had anger issues. I was so angry, I told her to stop the car on I-64. If you are, you know where I-64 is. It's on your way to, anyhow, Tennessee area, I-64 going to Memphis. On I-64, a busy highway, I told her to pull over, and I got out and started walking. I have no idea what I was thinking. Where am I going to go? We're 2 hours away from campus. This is before Uber. Where am I going to go? But you saw how anger got the hold of me, imprisoning me, making her sin, because now she feels terrible for stopping. This is what she did. She dropped me off on the side of the highway and left. She went to the next exit, turned around, and came back and said, "Are you done?" I said, "Yeah, I guess. I got nowhere to go." So I got back into the car, and we went back on campus. But here's the point. I know you're thinking, like, what is this? Why is she still with him after all that? Her mercy, her pure in heart, her practicing of making peace changed my life. If you have any hope of the other person changing in your relationship, it is on you to create heaven on earth. You're a mercy. You're a peacemaker. You know the scripture. You know God's word. Practicing it will change that person's life. As I'm maturing, as I am practicing of the Holy Spirit and the word of God that's in me, and not blaming anyone else, both Liz and I are maturing together. And as she sees me maturing, she realizes there's hope in that guy, huh? He's not so bad after. Maybe he can change. Heaven on earth is not what's happening around us, but it's what is happening inside of us. We have enough humility and humbleness to understand what Jesus is teaching us. Jesus is not teaching the heathens outside of these walls. Jesus is teaching us in here. How do we practice the scripture outside of here so heaven on earth can happen when we leave this place? Paul, a terrorist, by the way, this is what he said to Timothy. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst. For that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display in immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. That's a worthy saying. It's a worthy saying for who? It's a worthy saying for you and I. If Jesus can save you and I, he can save the person that you're being angry with. But it starts with you to practice peace, to practice peacekeeping, to be merciful. So essentially, change inside of us. It begins inside of us so our surrounding doesn't change us. If the change becomes inside of you, then you're not allowing your surrounding, your circumstances to change you. I love Eric Pearson's sermon a couple weeks ago. Thank you for that. He teaches his kid to be the influencer and not be influenced. And we teach our kids the same way. I'm not going to teach you to be a defensive person in this world. I want you to be the offensive person. That's my basketball term coming out, right? I want you to be the offensive person in this world. I want you to go and change the world. I'm not teaching you to sit back and make sure the world doesn't hurt you. No, I want you to go and influence it and inject yourself into it and change it. So change inside of us so the surrounding doesn't change us. Jesus explained this perfectly later in Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Let's turn there. Please, if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn there. Let me hear those pages flipping. There's a Bible in your seat. Chapter 7, verse 24. This is what Jesus, the way Jesus put this is perfect. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it has foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, it's like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. It felt like a great crash. How many of you guys heard the storm last night? How many of you guys woke up to the storm last night? How many of you guys are new to Florida and you're like, what is that? I just built a gate at my house, a fence, to keep a dog in. We love our dog, Mako, right? I'm actually spending a lot of time with Mako simply to make up for Faith, our last dog, because I was so busy working that I didn't have time to build a relationship with Faith. I only had time to build a relationship with my sons and my wife and my family. But this time, I'm making more of an effort to have a relationship with Mako because I missed out on the last dog. So we spend a lot of time together. So that's why we have a fence. Our neighbor paid for it, but I pitch in a little bit, you know. I did the construction with a couple of help, some guys here at the church. Eric Pearson helped me with the gate on the north side. The south side, I did on my own, plus you two. My wife always makes fun of me because she said, how'd you measure that? With your thumb? Make sure it's straight? How'd you do that? So anyways, about 2 o'clock last night, the wind came, and she's hearing on the side of the house, right outside of Vela's room. She's like, Nude, you hear that? No, I'm sleeping. I'm a guy. I sleep through anything. And then here, what are you talking about? She's like, there's something just like whipped something all on the side of the house. Can you go look at it? Pouring wind blowing. You guys remember last night? Lightning. I'm going out there, you know, like fighting through the storm. You know, as a man that I am, like, going out, pushing things to fight through the rain, all kinds of stuff. And I realized whatever I did to the fence on the south side, it wasn't good enough. The wind was so strong, it ripped a 2x4 that I had on the fence to keep it closed. The nails wasn't in tight enough. Gary and Eric, I need you to come over and look at it after church, by the way. I don't know what happened, but it blew the gate open and slapped it against the house. So I'm fighting everything, being a man that I'm, put it back together. But the point is, the world around us, Jesus is talking about, though, it's constantly changing. People change. People mature. People become immature. People have life circumstances they go through, and they react to certain things not the way that you want them to react to. Relationships change. You grow apart. You grow closer. Jobs change. Finance change. Attitudes change. Beliefs and people in their system of beliefs change. Certainly I have. You know, growing up as a Vietnamese family, you see the woman do a lot of the household work. And for the first couple years of my marriage, Liz is like, wait a minute, you have a full-time job. I have a full-time job. You leave at 9 in the morning. I leave at 9 in the morning. How am I the one that's responsible for the dishes all the time? That's just how I grew up. So I change. I'm doing dishes. Guys, there's nothing going to help your marriage more than you standing in the kitchen doing the dishes. Otherwise, you can thank me later. I accept gift cards, okay? That was for you. I'm starting doing the dishes. Beliefs change. The point is, things around us are constantly changing. We can easily pull down or into the change around us and turn it upside down. If we don't anchor ourselves in Jesus Christ and be the influencer, amen? It's not heaven on earth where I expect you to do certain things a certain way. I want you to, but Jesus wants us to do certain things a certain way that's different what you see around us. The point is to put God's word into practice. When the rain comes down, when blessing comes in heaven, God says it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. When the blessings come down, I don't become proud. I don't skip church because life is going well now. Or I don't skip church because life is not going so well. I don't become proud. When the stream rises or the trouble of this world, I'm not shaken. And when the wind blows, Jesus described the wind as like you don't know where it comes from. These are unforeseen circumstances. And we have those all the time, don't we? Something out of left field, out of nowhere.
I remain steadfast. I'm a child of God because I've been changed from the inside out. My heart is set on Jesus. My mind is filled with Scripture. My mouth is praying and speaking the truth. Amen? And you say to yourself, not today, Satan, uh-uh. And especially sitting in my office, every day is not today, Satan, right? Even something that's a leak in here, or speaking of leaks in here, there's a guy that it's not on our staff, but he might as well be on staff because he's here every day. We pay him in lunch. Literally, we pay him in lunch. He has a stack of cookies that he hides around here because when he works here, he gets hungry and he just eats it, and I'm still trying to find it where he hides it. I can't find it. Speaking of leaks, Gary Sorber, I just want to tell you I appreciate you, Gary, if you guys don't know. But the fountains, the bathroom, there's no more leaks in here, partially because we replaced the roof. Actually, there is one leak. So we got to call that. So Gary's going to call that. but the walls were leaking. So there's no more leaks in here because you fixed the walls. Great. So that means our carpet is going to be changed in January. We got a work order in for new carpets in January. Finally, when the storm blows, the wind blows, my heart is set on Jesus. My mind is filled with Scripture. My mouth is praying and speaking truth. Because my life, it's anchored in Jesus Christ. I'm changed from the inside out. I'm not going to let the circumstances around change me. I'm going to go and change the circumstances around me. Amen? As I mentioned, we have a dog. And as the band come forward, I love Mako. I'm trying to have a relationship with Mako. And our neighbor, it's paying for the training of Mako as well. I mean, when Liz prayed that a dog would get dropped in front of our house. Literally, a dog got dropped off in front of our house. It was taken care of. The fence, the food, the crate, the bed, the vet, the sign, the leash, and now the training. And one of the best trainers. So I'm spending a lot of time with Mako in training and teaching him how to walk and how to be next to me when danger happens. And when he sees a cat, he just doesn't lunge at it. And he stays right here. And it's going really well. And I love it. I do love it. So Liz asked the trainer and myself, we're there, and then I said, well, what happened when a cat runs by? What happened when another dog walks by? What happened there's a neighbor, when we want to greet a neighbor? What do we do in those situations? What happened to this stray? Like, what do we do with a dog in those situations? The trainer says this to us. What matters is your dog paying attention to you, looking to you for the next command. It doesn't matter what is surrounding the dog. Doesn't matter what distractions are around the dog. Doesn't matter if there's a cat run by or a squirrel or a mean neighbor. What matters is your dog is right there and he's listening to your voice and your command, what the next move should be. And that makes perfect sense. Because the world around us is always changing, constantly distracted. And Mako knows. But it doesn't matter what distractions around Mako, we need to keep the dog trained to hear our voice, what the next command should be. Heal Mako. Last night I'm walking Mako at 10 o'clock last night. You remember the storm, right? I'm a man. I'm walking my dog at 10 p.m. You stay home. I got it, right? Walking my dog. The cat was about 5 feet from us. Usually, Mako would dodge, chasing after the cat. But last night, heal Mako. Doesn't matter what's around. Mako was right there and we're just walking. Heal Mako. And the Beatitude, what it's teaching us, is doesn't matter what's around us, it's what's inside of us that reacts to the world, reacts to the things that's going on around us. Because heaven on earth is what's not around us, it's what's inside of us, how it's changing us. And be the influencer. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You are a child of God. Don't just live the Ten Commandments. Do this. Take it one step further. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much We thank for your love and your grace. That all of us in this room are changing. Which some are changed for the better and some are changed for the worse. But we'll hope for the better. The world around us is changing. But as you told us, anchor ourselves in your foundation. To keep our eyes on you and to keep our ears tuned to you and wait for the next commands, because that's the only thing that matters. So, Father, it's this season. Help us to focus our hearts and our eyes on you. Not the distractions, not the guilt, not the hustle and bustle, but to remember that you are the reason for the season. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. If you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, certainly there's an invitation every week here at our church. That you're invited to accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. They can be baptized right behind me. There's a baptistry. We have change of clothes for you as well. But if you just need prayers, if life has been hard, and or you just need prayer this week, how you approach this Christmas week coming up. Our elders and their wives will be up here to pray with you as well. And have Errol, go ahead and come forward. Eric and Priscilla, go ahead and walk forward. And Joe and Susan, you can help me out because Brendan is out of town this week as well. But you just need prayer to get you through this season as well. Our elders will be up here to pray with you. But don't leave here today without making a decision for God. By invitation of this song.